before we go to the last point, which is the eternality of Jesus Christ is our foundation of faith. It rests in Jesus Christ being eternal. We see in John chapter 1 where Jesus was, where he existed, where he dwelt with God, where he inhabited with God, and where he was God, which we talked about this morning in verses 1 and 2. We see in verse 3 that he's the creator of all things, that Jesus Christ himself, his hand was in that creation. It was through him and by him that all things were created. And then we saw how he was equal with God. It was not a lesser God, a created God. He is God fully. And then we see in verses 10, 14, and 18 that I want to talk about a little bit right now, how he is our visible God, which we touched on this morning. Let's read those verses, John chapter 1, verses 10, 14, and 18. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt, or as we said, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It is through Jesus that we see, we feel, we experience God. It is through Jesus that his people, the Jews that he came to, saw God who they'd always wanted to see. They saw him in Jesus. And Jesus tells them in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus says, you want to see the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because his apostles asked him, oh, Jesus, show us God. Show us the Father. And he says, have I been so long with you that you do not know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because Colossians 2, 9 tells us that in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Jesus is telling them, I am the Father to you. This is how you see the Father, through Jesus Christ. I am he. He is the expressed image of God. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that he is the expressed image. That word express image is character. That's the Greek word which we get our word character from. It means the exact likeness or the full expression. When it says that Jesus Christ is the express image of God, he's telling us he is the full expression. The fullness of God is seen in Jesus Christ. You don't see it in anything else. Now, you can see God in creation. When you look at creation, you know that there's a creator. It shows forth of the creator. But you don't look at the tree and experience God. You know that there's a God. You know that he made the beautiful creations. But when the people saw Jesus' face, they were seeing God himself. That's why I always love the story of the blind man, where Jesus heals him. And the first thing he does when he opens his eyes is he sees the creator, the God who made his eyes, the God who made him. The first thing he saw was the beautiful face of the creator, not just a great prophet who healed his eyes, not someone who could work great medical wonders. He looked upon the face of God himself, because Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You experience the Father through me. Another verse, Philippians 2:6, says that Jesus Christ came in the form. That word form is morph. Something morphs into something else. That means the very nature. And what this word means in this verse, it means the exact essence of a person. It means the qualities which constitute God. It refers to all of God's essential attributes. And it is the inner, essential, and abiding nature of God himself. It's not saying there was a man, Jesus Christ, and he then turned into a God. It is saying he is the full embodiment of God. He has every nature of God. He has all the essential abilities to be God because he is God. Because of Jesus' words back again in John, that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Not that I'm just a mirrored image. I am he. Because remember this morning, when you were created in, let us create man in our image. Whose image were you formed into? Whose image were you created into? If not for the image of Jesus Christ as God, the eternal Son. And then in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 19, it says that he is the exact representation and revelation of Jesus. Let's read those, of God. Let's read those verses in Colossians. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Let's start with 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Stop there. Image. That word image is icon in the Greek. And that word icon means an exact revelation of. He didn't just look like God, or what you would think a God would look like, because a lot of people mistaked angels for that. In the Old Testament, an angel would appear and people would think it would be a God. I would think it would be a God if you saw an angel come up. It's majestic. But God, Jesus is saying it's not just some revealed being that you see before you, something that's glowing, something that looks great. It is the exact revelation of God. Not a like God, not a lesser God, but it is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who has always been, always was, and always will be. The exact revelation of who God is to us. Again, back to John, where he tells them, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because I reveal him to you. That's why Jesus says, no man comes to the Father except through me. He is the door. That's when he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the door. There is no way to experience the Father without Jesus Christ the Son. There is no way to experience the Creator with removing Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, Creator, out of the mix, because he is an essential part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, always being, always dwelling, always in unison with one another. That's why Jesus said the I am statements that we talked about this morning. And I'm going to go back through those real quick in case you didn't get to write them all down this morning. We'll go through them again. Because the very foundation of what Jesus says through the Scriptures, the very foundation of everything that we believe, is based off of him truly being the I am, the God who Moses experienced on that mountain. That was Jesus Christ. So those verses again. In Exodus 3:14 is our first experience with I am in the burning bush. And then Jesus identifying with the great I am of old to the Jews, he says, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. All of these are going to be from John. I am the light of the world. 8:12. I am the door. 10 verse 7. I am the good shepherd. 10:11. I am the resurrection and life. 11:25. I am the way, 14:6. I am the vine, 15:1. And then the statement, before Abraham was, I am. 8:58. John 8:58. I am God. Because everything that we believe, everything that we as a Christian put our hopes in, into our eternal future, our security in the blood of Jesus Christ depends on him being who he said he was. It depends on him securing us before the foundation of the world and holding us in his hand through all of eternity. Look back in our text of John chapter 1. our very foundation of our faith is Jesus Christ being the eternal Son. Verses 4 and 5. In Him was life. In Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended Him not. Without Jesus, there is no life. There is no spiritual life, and there is no physical life. Because what we covered this morning in the creation, Jesus Christ is the life of all men. He created your breath. He is the sustainer of life, and He is the taker of life. Our very lives of us and everyone, those who believe and don't believe, are held in His hands. He sustains His creation. He gives it life, and He enables it to keep its life only through Him. But He is also, only through Him will you have the spiritual life. It cannot come through any other means but by the eternal Son of God. Without Him being eternal, salvation is no longer sure. If you believe, like the Jehovah's Witness we talked about this morning, that He was a God, that He was a magnificent created being, then all of your assurity in eternal salvation, the foundation has crumbled, because salvation is in Jesus Christ, foreordained before the world began, is when God established His plan with His Son to save His people before time began. So if Jesus Christ was created after time, then what was God's plan before time? What did He base it on if not for a created being? All of our salvation rests on the eternal Son of God. Look at verses 10 through 13 of John chapter 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, because of God's plan. So let's look at those verses. All who receive. He was in the world was made by Him, they knew Him not, He came to His own people, but as many as received Him. Who are those all who received Him? Those are the people who have acknowledged His claims, the ones who have clung to the words of Jesus Christ, the ones whom He has opened their eyes and they say, I believe that You are who You say You are. It's not the people who say, Jesus was a great man. Jesus was a great prophet, because like we said this morning, even the Muslims will admit Jesus was a prophet. It is those who say, I believe that You are everything that You have claimed to be, that You were before, that You existed with God before, that You created this life, that You dwelt with God in perfect harmony with the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for all of eternity in time past. Before time, I laid hold of that claim. That's who He's talking about, those who believe. Because you can have a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. Josephus, the Jewish historian, believed in a man, Jesus Christ, but he did not believe in an eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. You can have a head knowledge, but this, those whom have received in your heart a knowledge, a true understanding in your soul that Jesus Christ is who He said He was, that He is your salvation, that He is eternal, that He is the Creator, that He Himself planned for the Lamb to come, and He made Himself, provided Himself to be the Lamb. That's the belief that you have here. And to those people, He gave. But as many as received them, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name, the name of Jesus Christ. The word He gave emphasizes His involvement, His control, His planning in that salvation. The salvation does not come apart from Jesus Christ and His eternal plan. The plan that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made from eternity past. That plan, resting on the promise of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming to redeem His people. Because God came up with the plan. God created the plan. God controls the plan. And He gives you the power, the spiritual enlightenment to understand and believe on Him. And then it says He gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The right, the power, that means the authority to fully claim this, the title of children of God, because Jesus Christ, before time, made this plan that He would come and sacrifice Himself for you. Because of that, you can rest assured and you can claim hold to the title of child of God with full assurance and full faith that you are eternally a child of God. Because if Jesus Christ is not eternal, then His plan is not eternal. If Jesus Christ is just a created being, then His plans cannot be those of God. If Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, determined to do this, then you can rest assured that when He gives you the spiritual enlightenment, when He opens your eyes to see who He is, that you have 100% assurity that you will and are a child of God. You will always be. And you can rest your assurity in your hope of eternal salvation because Jesus is eternal. Because He was before all things. And He created all things. And He sustained all things. And He gave you the power to believe. And He gives you the power to maintain through this life. And He gives you the power to claim hold to the title child of God to live eternally with Him. All those that are born of God. Let's look back in verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not because of your heritage, not because you had parents that were Christians or grandparents that were Christians or because you were a Jew. It doesn't matter. Nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Not because you so determined to do it, because you were good enough to do it, because you had the resolve to do it. But of what? Of God Himself. It is God's will and God's eternal existence that produces your salvation through Jesus Christ. Because God is not going to eternally save you through something that itself is not eternal. He is not going to save you through something that He is yet to have created. God determined before time, God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit, determined before time that you would be saved through the eternal Son. That He would come Himself to offer the sacrifice for His people. Because He was there when the plan was established before the beginning of time. You are born of God, an eternal God, not a created God. Not a man who became a God, but of the eternal God, Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 16. And of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Jesus being fully God is what has guaranteed your eternal salvation. If it was, as some claim, that a great man then became God at the baptism when the Spirit came down upon him, then your salvation is no longer sure because it is a created being. If it was a created angel that then became above the other angels and then came to this earth, your salvation is no longer sure because it is based on something that is not eternal. But it says here that He is the fullness of God. And of His fullness have we received grace for grace. Because Jesus Christ is fully, as we said in Colossians 2, the fullness of the Godhead is Jesus Christ. And that, Him being who He says He is, Him being the eternal, always existent Son of God, is what we base our eternal salvation on. Your eternal security is not guaranteed if your eternal security is based on something that was created or could fade away. But it is based on something that has always been the great God who existed before time and outside of time, who created time and created all things. That is what your salvation is sure upon. The eternal blood of Jesus Christ that was shed before the foundation of the world. The bloodshed of Jesus Christ was not an autonomous God's plan B when creation didn't go as He had hoped it would. It was His plan before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would shed His blood for His people. The eternal sonship of Jesus Christ is an absolute necessity in the Christian faith. You must believe in the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. Without it, all of our foundation, all of our beliefs begin to crumble. Our church crumbles. This body that Jesus is the head of begins to crumble. In Matthew chapter 16, He's talking to His apostles. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Matthew 16, 13 through 18 is the reference here. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, some say that you're this prophet. Some say that you're that prophet. But who do you say that I am? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that statement is what our whole faith is based upon. The church of God is built upon that rock. That statement is not built upon a man, an apostle. His statement that you are the Son of the living God is what all of our faith is based upon, because Jesus says, "On that rock will I build my church." Not on Peter, the man, but on the statement, the acknowledgement that Peter says, "You are the eternal Son of God." Peter, based on that, "I will build my church." That is us. Us. Our existence here in this body today is useless if we believe in something that is not eternal. If we do not acknowledge and hold to that Jesus Christ is that eternal Son of God. If you don't believe that, if that is not true, then we're wasting our time here. But Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. And Peter acknowledged that, and based on that statement, Jesus built His church. That He, the eternal Son of God, would be the head of you, the body. You are that statement. You are what He built the eternal Son of God, the body, upon. You are the eternal Son of God. You are the Son of the living God. I'm going to build Heritage based on that comment. The church at Heritage in Huntsville is based upon Jesus Christ. That's you personally. That's a lot of other people, but that's us. Make it personal to you today, right now. You are here because He is the eternal Son of God. You are worshiping today because He is the eternal Son of God. Because if He is not who He said He was, then all of our foundation crumbles. Everything is based on Him being eternal. Because all of His plans for your salvation were made before the foundation of the world. If He wasn't there to plan it, then everything that you're believing today, your regeneration, your salvation, your election, your perseverance, they will all crumble if not based on the eternal Son of God. Eternal sonship and eternal election stand together, or they fall together. If you believe that you are eternally elected without an eternal Son of God, your beliefs will fall. But the eternal Son of God was involved in your eternal election. But what I want to do in this section, I'm just going to read some passages. You're welcome to turn to them, but I'm going to go through probably 7 or 8 verses on a couple of points here to show that the eternal sonship and eternal election stand or fall together. The eternal sonship and God's purpose of redemption stand or fall together. The eternal sonship and regeneration stand or fall together. And the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ and the preservation of you stands or falls together. So in the first one, the eternal sonship and election, eternal election, stand or fall together. The first passage is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." according as he hath chosen us in him, who in Jesus Christ you were chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You were predestined through Jesus Christ, chosen in Jesus Christ before the very foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was there before the foundation, drawing you in to him to eternally elect you, because he is the eternal Son of God. But if Jesus Christ was not there and he is not eternal, then what were you chosen in before the foundation of the world? But the Scripture tells us that he has chosen us in him, referring to Jesus Christ, before the very foundation of the world. The eternal sonship of Jesus Christ and your eternal election stand together. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He didn't give it to you after Jesus came and then make the plan. Jesus Christ, from the very beginning, before time, had planned this with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. He saved you. He called you with the holy calling, which was given in Jesus before all time. The eternal Son of God and your eternal election go hand in hand. If the Son of God is not eternal, your election is not eternal. But Jesus Christ is who he says he was. He is the great I am, and that is what you were saved upon. So rest assured in your eternal salvation, your eternal election, because the eternal Son of God was there before all of time, saving you, drawing you into him. God's purpose of redemption stands with the eternal sonship of God. The eternal sonship and the purpose of redemption stand or fall together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in who? In Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, who? Jesus. For by Jesus were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before, that means preeminent, of all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, you, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Because in him, the dear Son, going back to the first of that verse, in him is who we have our redemption in. The eternal Creator. Not in just a God that came or just a man that came, but in the eternal Creator, who it goes on further in those verses to say, this man, this God who created all things, who was before all things, who is above all things, in him is who you have your redemption. God's purpose of redemption goes hand in hand with the eternality of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. In whom? In Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to what? His purpose, of whom of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of what? His will. His purpose and His will were before the foundations were laid. God planned from the very beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in perfect unison planned from the very beginning according to their will, the will of God, that you would obtain inheritance because He predestined you. He predetermined you according to His purpose. If He is not eternal, then no longer is His purpose eternal. His purpose will not stand. But His purpose in your regeneration, in your redemption, stands because Jesus Christ is who He said He was, the eternal God. Because He based your redemption on Himself according to His will and His predetermined counsel. Acts 2, verse 20 says, Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Like I said a while ago, this was not a great God's plan B that Jesus Christ would have to come and be slain. It was according to His foreknowledge before time and space and material and creation ever were, He determined for Jesus Christ to be slain because it says He was slain before the foundation of the world. And then in 1 Peter 1:18-20, 1 Peter 1:18-20, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times by Jesus Christ for you. The foreordained lamb, predetermined to offer Himself as the sacrifice for you, so that you could become the body of Jesus Christ here on this earth, and He is your head. That was not plan B. That was His predetermined counsel. That He, as we said this morning, the God who demanded the lamb, not only provided the lamb, but became the lamb that He Himself demanded. And He foreordained that from before time. It is His plan. It always has been His plan because Jesus Christ was there before the beginning formulating His holy and righteous plan. Your regeneration stands with the eternality of the Son of God. If Jesus Christ is not eternal, then your regeneration is not eternal. John 5:21 says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. If He is not who He said He was, then He cannot bring you to spiritual life. But the eternal Son of God is the one who made the plan of salvation, who set it into motion, and He is the one. Jesus Christ wakens your dead spirits and souls to see Him, to believe Him, to grasp hold of His glorious truth. That's Jesus Christ. The Son quickens. Quickens just means to make alive. The Son brings the spiritually dead to life, whom He will. If He is not eternal, then He does not have the power to do what He says He has just done in bringing whom He desires to spiritual life. But we saw in John chapter 1 that all who believe on Him gave He the power to become the sons of God. That is the quickening that Jesus Christ gives you, is the power to become the sons of God. Because if you are dead, you have no power. You're just that, you're dead. You can do nothing. But Jesus brings alive, quickens whom He will to believe on Him. So if Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God, then your regeneration, your being brought to spiritual life, will not stand. The eternal Son of God and your preservation stand or fall together. Turn to Romans chapter 8, a passage we're all familiar with. But we're going to read this. Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 39. Your preservation stands on Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you... John chapter 8. I apologize. Let me turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who is also making intercession for us. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, even death, shall that separate you from the eternal love of Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, through Jesus Christ who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is what? In Christ Jesus. God loves you through Jesus Christ. You are not loved separate from Jesus Christ. God's eternal love is through Jesus Christ to you. And because Jesus Christ is eternal, because He was from the very beginning, before time, making this plan, you can rest assured nothing, not even death itself, can take you from the love of God, which is resting sure in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is who He said He was. He is the eternal I Am. And that is who God loves you through. Nothing will take that away from the eternal God. But if Jesus Christ is not who He said He was, then death, famine, sword, peril, nakedness, hunger, it will all take you from God's love, because it stands on nothing. But God's love is on you through the only sure foundation, the eternal Son of God. That is what our assurance lays hold of. That is what all of our faith, that's why we're here today. Because Jesus said, I am. I am God. That is what our belief is in. And on nothing else, it must be that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God whom He claimed to be. If God the Son is not eternal, if He is created, if He is not fully divine, if the Son of God is not who He claimed to be, there is no hope for mankind, and there is no hope for you. But we serve a God who cannot lie. We worship a God who planned all things before the beginning of time, who came Himself as Jesus Christ to this earth to offer Himself for what? For our eternal hope. Because Jesus Christ is who He said He was. He is the great I Am, who was before all things, who was God, who was with God, who is God. That is what your faith today is based upon. That is why you're here worshiping today, because Jesus Christ, as the apostle said, you are the Son of the living God, and on that I will build my church. You grasp hold of that glorious truth today, that Jesus Christ, the one who you claim hold of, is the eternal God He says He is. Because that is where your salvation, your redemption, you're being brought to life, and your assurance that one day you will live eternally with Him, it all rests on Jesus Christ. Let's pray.